my nervousness. I come from the old school ISKCON, where women never gave class. So this is my first time in 37 years to have been asked to speak, so please. And I give this as an offering to Srila Prabhupada, as well as my wonderful children are my offering to Srila Prabhupada. So for those of you who were at the graduation over a week ago, I mentioned how my daughter, Kumari Kunti, have found the jackpot here at Radhadesh. She got her bachelor's degree. She got her initiation from a beloved guru. She got a real job. And now she's getting married. So this has definitely been a jackpot for her. So this is my story, how I hit the jackpot in a place named Jackpot, Nevada. But before that, I'd like to start out with when I was 10 years old, the summer of 1967. I was in Fisherman's Wharf with my family, and my father, my brother, my mother, and we were walking down the street, and all of a sudden, these beautiful beings appeared. I knew then these personalities were from another planet. They were not from here. Most likely it was Vishnu John Swami out on his Harinam party that I saw. But they made a very lasting impression on me, knowing that whatever these people are into, they're really devoted to it. They're really into it. And I was captivated at 10. My father, being the Protestant Christian that he was, of course, made us cross the street to avoid them. So such was our misfortune then. But I got to see. I got to hear. Later on, I actually bought a Krishna trilogy book from a brahmachari one time at a mall. I was probably around 16. And there were the little powder blue paperbacks. There were three of them. I bought them and told them, oh, I'm a Buddhist, blah, 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 and took them home and, of course, never read them. And then we would see the devotees on Harinam on Sunset Boulevard. At the concerts, I especially remember getting candy and Back to Godhead magazines, probably from Dinabandhu Prabhu. So, but such was not my time to hit the jackpot yet. When I was 17, I met a real Buddhist. He thought he was Krishna. He had long black hair, played the flute, thought he was a real enjoyer. But he told me about karma. So I immediately became a vegetarian. And in 1974, to be a vegetarian, you might as well have said, I'm from Mars. Hello, how are you? So it wasn't until a year later that I had left Southern California, drove. This was the end of the hippie era. So, because I was very young for the whole movement, but drove up to Northern Oregon, met some people. We eventually went and found a place in Washington State where they grow apples. We picked apples. We live in the orchard and all that. On the way back, I went to visit a high school girlfriend of mine from Southern California. She lived in Jackpot, Nevada. Now, let me tell you about Jackpot. It's a very small little town. Very small. Has one hotel, one casino in a bar, and one gas station. And that's Jackpot. It's right over the border from in Idaho, from Idaho, Twin Falls. So I don't know how my friend ended up there, but by the mercy of the Lord, I went to visit her there. So there she was. She knew I was already a weirdo. I was a vegetarian. So she said, you know, Stephanie, you got to go meet these people. They're singing in the bar. They're vegetarians like you. I said, oh, okay. Sounds like a plan. So there I went. And I went to the bar, and they were going to just start singing. And all of a sudden, I hear this, Gopinath. Mama Nivedana Suna. They're singing Gopinath in Sanskrit in the bar. So this is proof of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Every town and village. Now this band was from Berkeley. They were what we would call back in the day fringy devotees. Ed was not even initiated. His former wife actually ended up marrying Pushta Krishna. But there was himself, a drummer, another guy, and this woman in front, and they called herself Devi Dasi. So they sat there and they sang Gopinath and so many beautiful tunes, the Maha Mantra, and I was captivated. So of course, I went up to them and started talking to them after they were done singing, and I said, oh, you know, I'm a vegetarian too, and da-da-da. So one of the guys, the drummer, who was kind of cute, says, okay, well, come back to my room. Let's talk about this. And I said, okay. And he says, yeah, we're eating like grilled cheese sandwiches and milkshakes out here on the road. But where we come from, there's a temple. And they have this wonderful food called prasadam. And I said, wow, really? And he goes, yeah. And he gave me a big silver book that said Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on it. He said, I want you to take this book. Go read it. I said, oh, okay, I will. So I went back to my friend's trailer, and this time I actually read the book. And I read the pastimes of Damodar. That just captivated me. The fact that he would steal the butter with his brother and all his friends, and they would steal it from his mother and all the other women, and then they would go out and feed it to the monkeys that they played with. And then when they all got full, they would go back and actually complain that the butter was no good and that the monkeys didn't want it, they didn't want it, and all these things. I was like, wow, this is really far out. This is really far out. And I kept reading this phrase, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I just kept reading it and I was like, who is this? Who is this? You know? So I went the next day. He said I couldn't keep the book. So, and they were leaving like that next day or in a day or so. I went back and I said, who is this Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead? And he just looks at me and he goes, it's God. I was like, wow, really? This is what God does? Because I was raised to believe in God. I knew God, but I had no idea what he did. He goes, yeah, this is what he does. This is all about his pastime. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. So he gave me a Back to Godhead magazine. And he said, look, you're going to go back to Oregon. There's a temple in Portland. And I said, oh, yeah, I can't wait to go check it out, especially for that vegetarian food he told me about, right? Because I was getting really tired of eating grilled cheese sandwiches and milkshakes and french fries. So, so they laughed, and I had my Back to Godhead, and I was leaving in a few days too. It actually just put a new motor in my VW van. I have one of those really nice VW vans with the long sunroof and all the little windows, you know. Somewhere too, I can't recall because my memory fails me now, almost everything. I picked up a little German Shepherd puppy and named him Hercules. So my friends had already left. I was by myself, and I had my little puppy, Hercules. So we're driving from Jackpot across Oregon in the middle of the state, you know, just flying along, and all of a sudden, I drive into an ongoing snowstorm. There's ice on the road. It was just horrific. And I was, you know, probably doing like 80 at least. So there I went flying off the road. And the van just rolled and rolled and rolled. And when I finally woke up, I was at least 80 feet, I know, I'm sorry, I don't know meters, from the van. And all the doors, everything was like smushed in. So I had flown from the sunroof, and I was just lying there going, oh my word, you know. I wish I would have known to say, oh, Hare Krishna. But I didn't yet. So I'm laying there, My puppy survived it too. He came running up to me. Eventually somebody stopped and helped us. Took us to Bend, Oregon, was the closest town. Took us to the hospital. And they were very sweet. They took care of my puppy outside the door and fed him and stuff, the nurses. And I was all right, amazingly enough. I had hit my head and it was bleeding, but I'm an Aries ram. We do that all the time. And I was fine. So I called my mother in Los Angeles. She flew all the way to Portland and then got on a little tiny plane, you know, like two-seater thing, to fly to Bend to make sure I was okay and everything. And I said, yeah, Mom, I'm okay, but you know what? I got this magazine here, this Back to Godhead magazine. And I'm thinking I was saved from dying in this crash so that I could go do this. She goes, what? I said, yeah, there's a temple in Portland. As soon as I get back to Eugene, I'm going up, and I'm going to go check it out, Mom. She goes, what? She's like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. She knows she couldn't talk me out of anything. I was 18, but, you know, so. So in the interim, there was a little chapel in the hospital. It was some kind of Christian hospital. I went in there with my Back to Godhead magazine, and I found this magic mantra in the back. And I just sat there and I started chanting Hare Krishna. And I read about Lord Chaitanya in the magazine. I said, okay, Lord Chaitanya, so you saved me. Now, what can I do for you? So that's how I hit the jackpot in Jackpot, Nevada. I was given a Back to Godhead magazine and a Krishna book, and I actually read them. So I went back to Eugene, and in those days it was really easy to catch rides. There were ride boards everywhere, you know. And so I caught a ride up to Portland. It was Halloween. I didn't even know it. I get out downtown. I got the Back to Godhead. I've got the phone number. And I can hear this clink, clink, clink. Clink, 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 and I hear that sound, and I thought, oh, they're here somewhere. But I had no idea where they were. They were probably like at least two streets away, right? I had no idea about Portland. So I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to call the temple. I call it up, and my godbrother, who's no longer with us, Chakadari, sweet soul, answered the phone, and I said, you know, I just want to come check out this temple, and can you come give me a ride? And he goes, yeah, where are you? And so I look out, and I see, I'm at Stark something. He goes, okay, I'll be right down. I said, I hear the Hare Krishnas are out here. And he goes, oh, yeah, they are, but that's okay, I'll come get you. So right then, after I hang up, this Christians, because every time you go out on Hare Nam, the Christians would come out, right? So the devotees had to have been like maybe one street away, because this Christian lady immediately walks up to me and just starts yelling, repent, repent. And I'm like, honey. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm just sitting there with my puppy going, you know. So Chakadari pulls up in a classic ISKCON vehicle. It was a VW Bug. And I had a driver's seat and a back seat. No front passenger seat. So it's like a limousine. I get in, and there I am driven off to Vaikuntha, 28th Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, Oregon, the home of Sri Sri Gornitai. So I'm getting there, and of course the time, the devotees like come right like 5 minutes after I arrive. I'm still in the front yard. We're trying to tie my puppy up to the tree and stuff, you know. Here comes Akuti Mataji. Now, if anybody that knows how to cook in ISKCON, they must have heard the name Akuti. This is Dina Bandhu's wife. She is the cook of all cooks. So she comes walking up the steps. Takes one look at me. I had, my nice overall dress on, and I was clean for, you know, a so-called hippie per se, but she just took one look at me and goes, this isn't a hippie hostel, you know. And I said, oh, okay. I was really dense. Denser now, but yeah. I said, oh, okay. I just wanted to check it out, you know. All perky and stuff. And she kind of gave me the eye, you know. And And then we got the dog tied up. I went inside and sat down and started talking with my dear friend, now godbrother, Mai Bartadas. Started hot milk, and they had, I think they even had some of the 8 o'clock offering, the puris and the halava still. And they said, here, eat this and drink this. And I was like, okay, you know. And he goes, so what are you into? And I said, nothing. I'm lost in life. I'm 18. I don't have any idea where I'm going. And he goes, well, good, because you've come to the right place. And I'm like, okay. I'm so glad. So I could hardly sleep. There was a bunch of Brahmacharinis. There was Mahabhava and Giridhari and Meru. And we got up so early in the morning. I was so excited. I couldn't believe this. Wow, we're going to get up early. And then we went into the temple room, and it was just amazing. The deities. They were the paper mache gorni ties. I don't think there are any more in the movement anymore. But they're about this tall, and they're just so beautiful. Akuti took care of them, and they're just so. And then by Govinda prayers, they gave me beads. Here, chant on these. Oh, okay. You know how it is those first days. You're like, ah, you know. But when it was time for Govinda prayers, and they used to have these big charcoal rounds that they use like in a Catholic church. And they would put the camphor on it, and it would just billow smoke. So that, then Jamuna's singing, the smoke, the incense, and the deities, and their outfits. I can just remember all the little mirrors and all the little ornaments on their outfits and just going, oh, I'm in another world. This is another world. And I was just like, wow. And of course, it seemed like it was that day was our favorite day of all. Govardhan Puja. The feasting with no fasting, right? And Akuti, I'm not kidding, could cook. Oh, Krishna. So I was just, and then Dinabhanu and Mai Bartha, they were all got those Vishnu John kirtans down. We were just Vishnu John Loka with the kirtans. So between the kirtan and the incense, and the, I was like, okay, I've been transformed to another realm. And I said, I think I've found home. So I can, even that day, Akuti would go, no, you have to sit down. Cause I said, oh, we get to serve out prashad. I was like a live wire. I felt like a live wire the entire day. I was like, no, sit down and eat. Oh, okay. She is so merciful. God bless her. So, what can I say about those early days? She's, needless to say, women never gave class. We hardly ever did any kind of, in that temple though, they were doing deity worship because there weren't so many devotees, but, Vishnu John's cousin would come through, Revati Nandana Swami, and, he would give class, and I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there one time too. And he was telling how, Dinabhanu used to have a squirt bottle. And he would squirt the brahmacharis to keep them awake during class. But I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj saying, you know, how you hang the chudders up on the deities so they're flying out? You need to pin the brahmacharis to the wall so they can stay awake. Those were the other days. This was 1975, folks, okay? We've started Sankirtan. We had a can. We'd come back because it's cold in Oregon. Of course, you guys like the cold, but for me, it was kind of a new thing being cold and wet all the time. We'd come back from Sankirtan, our hand would be like this, you know, from holding the can, selling the spiritual sky incense sticks one by one, and back to Godheads. That was our Sankirtan. That's how it all started. So we'll move it up now to May of 1976. And Dinabhanu said, Prabhupada's leaving Hawaii and he's coming to LA and we're all getting in the van, we're going. So we all pile in the van. It's a van that doesn't have seats. This is like a spiritual sky incense van. So it's just a cargo van. So we're literally piling in all the way from Portland to Los Angeles. I don't remember the trip. I somehow or another have selective memory. I just try to remember the good things. But we got there, and somehow or another, we had the mercy of being there to greet Srila Prabhupada at the airport. Now, by this time, there's tons of devotees everywhere. I missed all the early days when there were just a few. So we go to the airport, and there must have been at least 200 to 300 devotees, easily. And in those days, you could go all the way to the gate, of course, right? And I remember it was all this Hawaiian stuff. So he was coming from Hawaii. So there we are, and we're having a ripping kirtan, right? Waiting for Prabhupada. And of course, everybody's like freaking out. What are these people doing? What, you know? The airport people always were like, what is going on, you know? But there were so many of us, it couldn't stop us. So there we are, we're chanting. And all of a sudden, people start coming out of the gate, and we're like, I was like, wait a minute, where's Prabhupada? Because in my mind, of course, he was the only person on that flight. There was nobody. We were nobody else. So all these people start walking out, and we're just jamming kirtan, and they're like, oh my, wow, God, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada came out. We first glimpse, hit the floor. All of us just hit the floor. But I jump up really fast because I don't want to miss anything. And I probably didn't even really know the prayers by then, so it didn't matter, right? So I jump up, and there's Srila Prabhupada. He's like an effulgent, glowing personality, just gliding across. There's no walking. He was gliding, and he walked, and I'm like right there, and he's walking right by me, and I was like, oh, Krishna. So, of course, the minute he walks by, then we all jump up, and we're following, you know. Of course, there were all the guys with their sticks. That's what us girls called them, the guys with the sticks. And we were literally told, and I'm not lying, that if you get too close with those guys with the sticks, they'll hit you with them. So I was prepared not to get too close because I didn't want to get whacked. But I wanted to get as close as I could. So there's actually, you know, in LAX, there's the stairs in the middle, and then there's the escalators on each side. And so I can't remember what Srila Prabhupada went down the stairs, and we were like just jammed on the escalators. And then there's these big people mover, like moving walkways, right? And then when he got on that, I was getting as close as I could. In fact, my god sister Bhumi just posted a picture probably about a year ago on Facebook. God bless Facebook. And I can actually identify that was my arm. I was there. Because I remember I was within, I'd say, 4 feet of Srila Prabhupada the entire time, because I was just like, you know, getting up there and, you know. Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better? Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Is that better? Okay. So there we are, all the way. Somehow or another, we made it back to the temple, too, before Srila Prabhupada did. These are mystical happenings. I have no idea how they happen. And you'll read devotees talking, other devotees talking, and they have no idea either how they made it back to the temple. And there we are at the LA temple on the second floor, and when he's walking in, we're dropping the rose petals, you know. And but I'm talking, there's a big gang of devotees here. What's minimum? 200, 300, 400 devotees, right? So we go in, of course, Srila Prabhupada pays his obeisances, and we're just like, just captivated. Whatever he was doing, we were just focused on watching him. You know, forget the Lord, forget anything else. We're just like, if he was in the room, we were just like zoned in on watching him. And so then, of course, he sat on his vyasa. Now, he was there for 11 days. I can't even give you a detailed description of the 11 days because, I don't know, it was a whirlwind. I can remember we would sit, we wouldn't sit. We would stand at the bottom so the altars are right here. And then on the right-hand side is the stairway to his room. And we would all, there was a few of us, real gargantuous females, because again, you know, there's a lot of orange and a lot of sticks, so we just kind of banged our way in there. And we would stay there and wait for Prabhupada's plate to come down. Of course, it was completely cleaned off already, because they took it all. But we would just like take little licks, whatever little juice from whatever. We're like, give it to us, you know. We want it. And then we would stand outside on the wall in the morning, and when he would get in the car, there's an alleyway there from down from his room, and we would just stand there waiting for him to drive by, and so he's going on his morning walk, which of course, with all those devotees, we never got to go on. I personally never got to go on one, but that was all right. I was just in ecstasy just to be able to see him. One morning I brought my mother and my former boss. I had worked before I left and went north. I brought them to the temple to hear Srila Prabhupada's class. And of course they couldn't understand a thing he was saying, but I said, it doesn't matter. Just sit here and look at him, and you'll be saved from this lifetime and lifetimes and lifetimes. And they're like, oh, okay. My mother was very favorable. She got even more favorable as I had children and named them wonderful things like Gaurachandra, Kishori, Kumari, Sundari. So she did a lot of seva for my children. But she got the mercy. She got the mercy to see Srila Prabhupada. And I know there's so many of my own God brothers and God sisters that never got that mercy to even have his Vapu. So there was a movie they had made in New Vrindavan. And actually my good friend from Portland, Kushimapada, she was the redhead wild belly dancer in it. It was the Ramayan. So she did the whole dance for Ravana, you know. So Prabhupada sat on his Vyasan, and we all sat there watching him watch the movie. We didn't watch the movie, so I didn't really get to see. I'm sure it's still out there somewhere. But after the movie, we were just sitting there the whole time watching Srila Prabhupada. After the movie, Srila Prabhupada said, "This is cinema." Like, he really approved of it. He liked it. He liked, because it was pastimes, Ramayana, and it was done really well. It was done in the, you know, the forests of New Vrindavan and the whole mood they have back there. So it was really sweet. So, trying to think of some other real nectar. I didn't get that much. I did, though. At one point, every morning, of course, during Guru Puja, he would hand cookies out to the children. And again, he's surrounded by saffron and sticks on all sides. So there was no way of getting in there. But I thought of a way. And it was so crowded, too. I just grabbed the kid. I was 20 years old, obviously not even old enough to have had a kid. But I picked up, I don't even remember the kid, okay? But I picked up the kid, and I waited in the line. And I went up there, and when I stood in front of Srila Prabhupada, I looked at him, and he looked right in my eyes. And I was stunned. I was just, I could feel he could see right through me. And, you know, the child went and took the cookie. But I was just like, I was just like paralyzed. And of course, then, you know, somebody was like, come on, Matichi, move. I was like, I couldn't move. I don't know what happened to the cookie. I don't know what happened to the kid. All I know is that I got to get that glance of Srila Prabhupada. That glance that pierces your heart. And I pray, will never leave me, birth after birth. So, I'll save the best for last here. So that was 1976, yeah. So we were sitting there, and Srila Prabhupada gave that famous lecture where he said,
And chant these 16 rounds and follow these four regular principles. And I promise you, I will take you back home, back to Godhead. I sat in the same room as he said it. And of course everybody went, Jai, Srila Prabhupada. And I thought, oh, that's all? That's all I have to do? Oh, that's so easy. Well, 37 years later, folks, here I am. I'm still trying to do it. But that's what he said. I heard it myself. Just chant these 16 rounds and follow these four regular principles. Take shelter. Take shelter of what he's given us, and he will take us back home, back to Godhead. So that's 1976. Let's move forward to 1977. Here's my claim to fame, folks. This came from Mayapur too, which I see as my only future home. It was written February 13, 1977. Dear Balakrishna Das, please accept my blessings. I have received your January letter and examined the contents. The GBC supervision of Seattle Temple will be facilitated at the GBC meeting in Mayapur. Upon your recommendation, I have accepted the following devotees for first initiation. Stephen Peterson became Satchadeva Das. Stephanie Sherritt became Sritama Dasi. Alice Trushell, Anuttama Dasi. Carolyn DeRoy, Karanakshi Dasi. Kim DeRoy, Kalimba Dasi. Tommy DeRoy, Tamara Dasi. Leonie Hennepi, I don't remember her, she was Linguini Dasi. Not Linguini. I can't read it. I'm sorry. It sounds like we called her Linguini. That's what it was. It sounds like it. Because she was young. She was a young girl. She was like 14. Two of those other girls were very young too. And then Sarangi Dasi was also initiated with me. Hold a fire yajna and get them properly initiated. I've also accepted Parapara Devadasi and Gopinandini Devadasi and Vedavati Dasi for second initiation. And the Gayatri Mantra is enclosed. Have them hear me speaking the mantra on the recording in the right ear. Please continue your vigorous book distribution and see all the devotees carefully follow all the rules and regulations. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So, if anybody wants to see my initiation letter, I'm very proud of it. So, yes, and that's exactly what we were doing in Seattle, was massive book distribution. I was going to say also we had the Girls Gurukula there at the time. And also my mother came up for my initiation, so she got the mercy there as well. Although Srila Prabhupada wasn't there, of course, to personally initiate us, but it still was done by his signature. So, but yes, those were the days, my friend. The book distribution was, we had advanced to carnations, from incense sticks to carnations, and it was the old, excuse me, sir. And then we created what we called the handoff. So we would have the book bag on the left, and we would put the book under the right arm, right? So there we are. Oh, excuse me, sir. As we're going to pin, we had pin cushions on our arms. We used to pin up during class time, right? And we were like little sewing girls, but we weren't. And we had the bag, the carnations in the bag with the books. And we'd take our left hand and get that book and say, can you hold this for me, please? So there they would hold the book while we pinned them up. And once they had that book, we never took it back. We would open it, show them the pictures. My line was, you know, we're out here freeing people from birth, death, disease, and old age through this knowledge right here in this book. You want to know how not to die, don't you? Everybody wants to know this. So they're like, you know, okay. So we open the book, show them the pictures, and keep the book. Our hands would disappear until they brought out some money. Then our hands would go back into our bag, and we would start giving them $1 bills back. So we were expert. What can I say? It was that money that built the movement. There's no loss. So this Lord Chaitanya's mercy is even for all of us, the highly unlikely candidates, highly unqualified. But that mercy is there. And I'm ever, ever so grateful for being allowed to hit the jackpot in Jackpot, Nevada. I get the mercy of the Lord. I get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada's mercy, period, is all I'm made up of. That's all I've got. So I'll end there. There's any comments, criticisms, questions, anything from anybody? No? Yes. By putting the book in their hand, even if they don't take it, they're still getting that mercy because they're holding it. And that book, Bhagavat, is no different than Krishna. So that was our initial reasoning for putting the book in their hand immediately so they could get the mercy whether they took it or not. But then we found it was such a great strategy. We just, you know, they were, you know, when you stop somebody on the street, they're in their own little la la, la la, la la land, right? So they're like walking around in a bubble. And when we stopped them, we kind of the bubble. That's what we used those pins for, too. We were popping their bubble of illusion. Wake up for a minute. I'm right here, smiling in your face. I'm talking to you. Take this, you know. So it's all mercy. But put it in their hand, even if they don't want it. Put it in their hand and they'll get some mercy and they'll remember that day that I was shook out of my state for just a minute. Somebody actually had the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to come up to me and stop me and smile at me, you know. They may not be favorable, it doesn't matter. Still, if they got to hold the book, it's going to, Paramatma inside's going to start nudging them a little bit, you know. Because Paramatma's there, right? We know that. They don't know that, but we do. So when you're distributing, you know, we used to just pray to Paramatma in their heart. Please, wake them up. Wake them up. Yeah, so. Hi, howdy, Paul. Okay, that's it. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, I'm sorry. Correct. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I could elaborate on that for weeks. Okay? Yeah, like I said, I thought, oh wow, that's all? That's so easy. Of course, I was, 19 at the time, and just, still so enamored in the Brahmacharini ashram. And yeah, that's a piece of cake. But 37 years later, yeah, it's a struggle. I'm still struggling. Every day I'm praying to Nityananda Ram, please give me strength, yeah, because Maya is so strong. Yeah, I had 5 children. Yeah, so yeah, I definitely have had my trials and tribulations. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I mean, another 4 of my 5 children are devotees. And that's only by His grace. So you just, I think what it puts you in is an understanding that as we are getting older too, because I'm definitely older and old now, that yes, we pray even harder than when I was younger. Please give me the strength to do this every single day. Yeah. Because we're so caught up in our everyday life. You got the kids, you got the diapers, you got to cook the prasadam, you got to do this, you got to drive them to soccer, you got to go do the laundry, It's like, there's just so much that we just get distracted by. And we forget to pray. So I think that's one thing that's a benefit of being old, or as we have more time to pray every day. Please, please engage me in your service. Yeah. So that's my revelation on it. I spend a lot of more time praying now because I don't have all that, laundry to do, all that cooking to do. Yeah. So it's mercy. But I never gave up. I never, we lived on the big island and we didn't have a temple on our island. But we used to have wonderful programs at our house. We actually lived in a house at one time that my godbrothers, Tripurari Maharaj and Narasimhaswamy lived in. So it was a holy dome. It was a holy dome. And when I first walked into it, it had this huge room. And I thought, wow, this is a temple room. I want this house. So I'm talking 2 stories, 5-bedroom house, right? Huge place, right? So we used to have programs there. I hosted, we had a program, Bhakti Tirtha Swami came. We had Bir Krishna Goswami come there. One time Narasimha Swami came, and he sat there and he goes, now I wouldn't do the programs. I didn't do the speaking. I didn't do the chanting. I did the cooking. I was the cook. And my daughters did all the serving and cleaning. But Narasimha Swami sat there one time and said, straight to my Mataji. And I said, yes, Maharaj. And he goes, I used to live in this house. And I said, yeah, Maharaj, I've heard that. He goes, yeah, my bedroom was right down the hall on the right. I said, oh, great, Maharaj. Because that was, of course, my room. So, but we always had, we always had programs. We always stayed connected. We always, somehow or another, kept Srila Prabhupada in our house and in our hearts. And here we are today. Gopinath, that I heard in Jackpot, has finally allowed me to come see him. So, Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Haribo.